is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Presented by Edmonton Motors.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
12:48, the Habs up on New Jersey 1-0 on a Pacioretty goal. We'll keep you updated on that. Of course, they're a very busy slate. Hockey Night in Canada has a couple of games, including the Oilers in Calgary against the Flames, and that's the late game, so we'll check that out. This has not actually come down yet, but Terry Jones is tweeting that the 10 games for Sutton, and it's been not yet confirmed by the NHL, not official, unconfirmed, but that's coming from Terry Jones. We'll keep you updated on that as well this afternoon. Now joined by Danny Gray from Leafs Nation. Danny, how are you this afternoon?
I'm just fine. How are you?
Good. I guess you're going to wait for the next ownership changeover to get involved in any kind of ownership with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Is that correct?
Well, I'm actually a little bit disappointed because in my time when I'm not blogging, I'm actually a teacher. Mm-hmm. I was hoping to be a member of the Ontario Teachers Pension Plan.
Oh.
And I just graduated from Teachers College about a year and a half ago, and I'm just doing some supply work right now, and I was looking to get in on it and be part owner of the Leafs, and then they go and sell it. So maybe I'll have to get a job with Bell or Rogers or something.
Wow. So you know what? That sucks because you did all that hard work, and now, you know, really for nothing. You know.
I know. I'm extremely disillusioned. It really had nothing to do with the children. I just wanted to own a bit of my favorite team, so...
Okay, I will confess to knowing very little about business, but it seems to me as though a couple of guys who hate each other ordinarily and their sides came together on a deal because it was just too darn attractive to pass.
Yeah, I think that's basically one of my initial reactions on Twitter was that it says a lot about the profitability of MLSE if Bell and Rogers can get together on this and work together and buy something like that the same, right? They're basically, like they said, they're buying the content and they have the vehicles to give us that content. And the Maple Leaf brand itself, as well as the Raptors and TFC and all that, is extremely profitable content. It hasn't been the highest quality as far as the games themselves lately, but people tune in no matter what. So I think that's definitely a good business investment for them.
For the average Joe, and you know, what we need is more Leafs coverage in this country, but for the average Joe, what is going to change in the next two or three years? Anything at all?
As far as right now, the one major change is that as far as AM radio listeners go, AM 640 in Toronto had had the Leafs contract and they had been doing all 82 games. Going forward, TSN and the Fan are going to be splitting those up. The Rogers Center, Rogers Radio and TSN are going to be splitting them so they each get half of the games. They haven't said which half and who gets what, but that's the one biggest change, I think, as far as access goes. Leafs TV still remains. My thought is that we might see some TSN guys or some Rogers guys show up on Leafs TV. Right now, Joe Bowen does call the games on Leafs TV, and he also works with Rogers, so that should be the biggest difference. But other than that, I don't think anything major. The Hockey Night in Canada contract comes up in 2014, so it'll be interesting to see what's going to happen there. I mean, Bell and Rogers were obviously going to bid regardless, but now that they're co-owners of the Maple Leafs, I think that makes it even more of a investment for them to want to get a piece of that.
I'll tell you, I'm okay with everything, but if I start hearing James Duffy say, holy Mackinac, then there's going to be trouble from this end. One of the first thoughts I had was that, you know, we've heard rumors for several years now that Hockey Night in Canada's, you know, monopoly on that Saturday night gig might be going the way of the dodo bird. Could this possibly be the first step in that process?
Well, I'm not much of an expert on this sort of thing, so anything that I'm saying is purely speculative, but I think that as we saw with TSN, even sort of the buying of the Hockey Night in Canada theme, it's been sort of, you know, that CBC can't really afford to compete with CTV and Bell and Rogers as far as monetarily goes, and they've mm-hmm. been really benefiting from the monopoly on Hockey Night in Canada. So with the contract coming up in 2014 and with the Conservative government sort of tightening the purse strings around CBC, I see it being very difficult for them to actually put out the money necessary to keep that contract. So it'll be something to keep an eye on. But I think that if Bell or Rogers does buy it, it'll still be sort of the same idea, access. Maybe we'll see it on CTV or something like that. It'll still be national with access for everyone, right?
Okay. Final question, then we'll move on to some Leafs things that are happening. With regard to the Leafs and Leafs Nation and Hockey Night in Canada and TSN and all of that stuff, are there any thoughts that one of these two sides is stronger than the other in leverage? By that I mean Rogers and TSN or Rogers and Bell?
My own thinking is I see Bell being a little bit stronger as far as they have the national network already,
right.
With CTV being something that everyone can get even on the analog right now, obviously, but it's a full national network, and they've done a really good job with the Olympics as well, so they have that experience bringing the sports to a larger viewership. And again, TSN, I think, is a bit stronger of a brand, so it'll be interesting to see them go at each other, and I think that's the one major thing coming up is the Hockey Night in Canada. They're both going to want to bid independent of their Leafs ownership. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there.
Okay, now let's get on to the Leafs. MacArthur and Armstrong are back. So is this a team that's pretty much healthy now?
Yeah, I mean, their forward core is healthy, except Matthew Lombardi remains out. But generally speaking, everyone up front is finally healthy, which is nice. But the one big absence, and I never thought I would say this, is Mike Komisarek still remains out with an injury probably until mid to late January. And a year ago, it wouldn't have bothered me. But right now, actually, he's someone who we could probably use on the blue line, which is a little disappointing.
This is an aside, and I didn't plan on asking that, but you brought up Komisarek. And one of my theories on all these defensemen who signed big contracts or move to one, from one team to another, often there's a period of time where it might be 20 games or 40 where you're adjusting, and then there's a lot of injuries to those types of players because they block shots and they're very physical. Is Komisarek was there an injury, or was there something that we weren't told about or wasn't highly publicized that may have impacted Komisarek's putrid play up until this year?
Well, there's obviously the incident with Milan Lucic when he was still a member of the Habs. He suffered a shoulder injury,
yep.
And a lot of people have said he wasn't the same since that incident, and his confidence definitely took a hit when he first arrived to Toronto with all the expectations, and he really did struggle. But the first 20 or so games of the season that he was involved in, he was playing really well for the Leafs. He was a steady influence on the blue line, and especially at a time when Luke Shen was struggling, it was a good to have him out there. But aside from that, that might be the only sort of remaining injury that I can think of. The Lucic incident and then the fight and that sort of thing afterwards. They had that sort of rivalry going. But other than that, it's mostly been a case of some bad luck. And again, he's not a guy who brings a lot of offense. So when he's not keeping the puck out of the net, he's not really doing much else. So it's hard for him to sort of get himself out of the doghouse, especially with fans. Now, I'm not an insider, but from what I know, the guys who cover the team say that Komisarek is really well-liked. Ron Wilson really likes him. Everyone around the team likes him. He's a bit of a veteran presence. So I think having him around is definitely beneficial to this team, whether or not the on-ice results are there as far as points and, you know, those sorts of things.
This year when they traded for Cody Franson, I thought, man, they are going to have such a great lineup with Lyles and all of those guys, but Phaneuf will struggle, and there's no chance that Gardner makes the team now. These many games in, Phaneuf looks like he did in Calgary, and this Gardner kid is, I mean, he's all world. He's an outstanding young player.
Yeah, once or twice a game, you know, you see everyone saying, like, Jake Gardner is for real, and people are saying that the Leafs have sort of a legit defenseman on their hands here, and it sort of took everyone by surprise because, like you say, it was sort of a struggle for him to make it out of camp, especially with the team signing Cody Franson. But, yeah, he's looked impressive night in and night out. I mean, he still makes a few mistakes. The other game against New Jersey, he coughed the puck up, which led to a 2-on-1 late in the game that Reimer had to bail him out. But other than that, every night he moves the puck well. He's got great hands. A lot of his play is really positional-based. He doesn't throw a lot of hits, but he's really good at separating the guy from the puck and using his stick and using his speed to move the puck up to the forwards. He is a little hesitant to shoot right now. He was on a 2-on-1 earlier with Tyler Bozak the last game against the Devils, and he elected to pass. And I think with a little bit more experience, a little bit more confidence, he takes that shot and maybe it goes in.
The game last night, they lost 4-1. What was the major culprit there? I caught some of the game, and it looked to me like there was some power play action going on from the other side, and maybe Reimer wasn't as sharp as he needed to be. But what was your summation of the game last night, the 4-1 loss?
It was definitely the special teams. They gave up 4 power play goals, and anytime you do that, as Ron Wilson said, and he added a few more curse words, but you're not going to win many games when you do that. So for the Leafs, the special teams have been killing them lately. The past 2 games, they've only allowed 1 goal at even strength, and that was a 4-on-4 overtime goal against the Devils, so it's not even really even strength. But besides that, they've let in 6 goals on the power play, so that's just not good enough.
Right.
Now, the Leafs normally don't take very many penalties, but over the last 10 games, they've actually given up 43 power play opportunities. opportunities, and have only had 31 for themselves. Since Ron Wilson's been coaching, they've actually had a differential of a positive 33. So that's something that I think will sort of even out. But definitely last night, the main problem was the penalty kill. It was pretty atrocious.
Okay. You know, and I let you go, but I wanted to ask you one final question, because the best article I saw on the internet was you this week about, and it's about that feeling you get when you think a goal is about to be scored.
Thank you.
Well, it was brilliant, because I've been watching hockey forever, and I've always had that feeling, but I could never articulate it. So tell me what made you think of it, and tell me about the article and what you came up with.
Well, actually, what made me think of it was the game when the Leafs were playing the Devils, and Carl Gunnarsson whiffed on a slap shot. And like you said, everyone gets that feeling when they're watching the game, and you just know what's about to happen. So in my spare time, a lot of the stuff that I like to read is sort of behavioral economics and sort of like pop psychology and neuroscience and that sort of things by authors much more capable than myself. So I sort of had been interested in that. Whenever I read these books, I always find myself thinking about the Leafs and hockey fandom and how really related they are. And like I said in the article, it feels sometimes like we're lab rats, basically. You know, we're all sitting in front of this TV watching something that gives us a lot of pleasure, but we have no control over. So sort of the mechanics of our brain and the biases that are ingrained in our brains sort of explain some of the things that we go through when watching the game. So basically, if you watch enough hockey, you know, you get to recognize those things that obviously lead to a goal, whether it's a goaltender mishandling the puck or, you know, just one of those things that happens so often, a missed chance at one end leads to a goal at the other end. So when you see those sort of things happening, your brain is responding quicker than you can actually articulate it, like you say, and before you know it, the puck's in the other end of the net and you're really angry, but you don't really know why.
It's a brilliant article, and people should go online and read it. Speaking of which, where can we read you, Danny?
I'm on the Leafs Nation, which is theleafsnation.com, and I also do some writing for PPP, which is pensionplanpuppets.com. Since Bell has a pension share of the new Toronto Maple Leafs, we don't actually have to worry about renaming that blog, which is nice. And I'm also on Twitter. You can follow me, and my Twitter handle is a cat named Felix.
And that's after Potvin.
After Felix Potvin, and Plea from a Cat Named Virtue is a song by the Weakerthans, and they're one of my favorite bands, and they're a Canadian band from Winnipeg, so you should check them out as well.
I love I Hate Winnipeg. It's one of my favorite songs.
I think they should play it at Jets games.
I do, too, and it's not a negative, right?
No, definitely not.
I agree totally. You know,
well, maybe we should start some sort of petition or something.
People should listen to us, Danny. We're smart.
I know. We've got the good ideas.
There you go. Danny, thanks so much.
Well, thank you for having me. Have a good week.
Okay, you too. Danny Gray from Leafs Nation and Pension Plan Puppets, and an interesting guy. And read that article. It's brilliant. It really is. Okay, Dustin Nielsen tweets right now, heard yesterday that Sutton was looking at 9 games. Number out there right now is 10, but no official word from the NHL. We'll keep you updated on that. We also have Kent Wilson, Corey Graham from the Oil Kings play-by-play, talk about tonight's game and how well they're doing, and the return of Matt Bug. We're going to have him back on, talk a little bit about the World Juniors in hour number 2 as well. We're going to take a break right now. Stay tuned. We've got lots of good things happening. This is Nation Radio, presented by Edmonton Motors.